Amen. I'm in Genesis chapter 37 today. Most of you know I love taking a book and just teaching straight through it. But the Lord has instructed me to tell you some stories for a little while. Not fairy tales, but real life stories of people just like you and me that have experienced failures and victories. And today we're talking about the story of Joseph, the man Joseph. I've entitled this, Don't Give Up When Life Gets Difficult. And it will get difficult. Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 through 11 says, Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was the son of Bilhah, the son of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a tunic of many colors. Most of you remember Dolly Parton's song, Coat of Many Colors, that my father made for him. No. And that's what she's talking about. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Dysfunctional family. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf rose and also stood upright, and indeed your sheaf stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brothers said to him, Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dream and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream, and he told it to his brothers and said, Look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. He told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him. Listen to these next words. But his father kept this matter in mind. When we're reading the story of Mary, when the angel spoke to Mary, she didn't understand much of what the angel was saying. But it says this, but Mary pondered these things in her heart. That's exactly what Joseph's dad did. Jacob, he pondered it. He did not dismiss it. In Genesis 39, verse 1 through 3, it says, Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph. He was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. And the last verse of that 23, the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Father God, it has come before you today. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for what you've done in the service and what you're going to do. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that every heart would be open to what the Spirit of God is saying this today. Lord, that song, Come Alive, I believe, Lord, has been the theme of this service. Lord, you're talking to dead bones, Lord, and you're saying, Come Alive. You're calling breath back into our spirits, Lord. Those that are dry, Father, are being called to come alive and breathe again and walk with you and have an extraordinary life in the Spirit of God. I thank you, Father, that you care so much for us, that you will not leave us to our own destruction. Lord, you care, you love, you envy for us to have a relationship with you. You long so greatly to do the great and mighty, the miraculous in our lives. And I just want to say thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that your grace has been extended to us over and over, and your mercy fails not. Lord, we are a people that need your mercy and need your grace. We need your empowerment for our lives. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Joseph is the 11th son of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel when he wrestled with the Lord. We'll leave it at that. In the Old Testament, he is a type of Christ. One of the things that I love about the Bible is it does not spare us from knowing the dirt on people, right? I mean, if you mess up, it's going to be in the book. Joseph has no dirt. It's very unusual. He's a type of redeemer for Israel, like Christ. He actually starts his ministry at 30 years old. He's sold for 20 pieces of silver, 20 shekels of silver. The similarities run rampant in this man's life. He did some things that wasn't real wise. Sometimes when you have a dream, sometimes you need to keep it to yourself, right? There are dream squashers all around us. Don't be a dream squasher. Seriously. Don't kill someone else's dream. I know that when someone shares a dream that the Lord has given to them, you can't see it, because all you see is the man or the woman that stands before you with all their imperfections, what little ability they have. But it's not about them. It's about God in them accomplishing great feats, great things God wants to do in every life. So don't ever say, well, I just, good luck. God bless you. You're going to need it. Oh, come on. Let's do better than that. I want to say one thing about Joseph was dreaming in the Old Testament. Joseph didn't have something we have. God spoke to them. A lot of times an angel of the Lord would appear, or they would have a dream. But in one portion of Scripture, it says the word of the Lord was very rare. That is not today, because of one major difference. We have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the vehicle in which walks the earth and is in the earth today, and He's in you. Therefore, the word of the Lord should never be rare. The Lord doesn't have to necessarily give you a dream. He can give you a dream, and He still speaks through dreams. But the Lord can talk in real time. Turn here. Don't do that. You're on a bad path. The Bible says in the book of John, "My sheep know my voice." That doesn't mean, boy, I've got to get with it where I can get the voice of God and hear the voice of God. No, you're misunderstanding that verse. The responsibility is on Him, not you. He said, "My sheep know my voice." Are you His sheep? You have a promise of God that you're going to know it. Now, what do I got to do? You just got to do nothing. He's going to do something in you where you're going to begin to hear Him. And you'll probably hear Him in a repetitive form or fashion, because that's the way He's going to speak to you. That didn't happen much in the Old Testament, but thank God when God supernaturally appears and He shows Joseph a dream, and He says, this is what's going to happen. The boy is 17 years old when he has this dream. His brothers don't even like him because he's a favorite for dad, right? Because he's a son of the woman that he actually loved, not just one of them that he's sleeping with. Messed up world. Then and now. Rachel was his mother, born to Jacob in his old age. And then later there's another brother coming, Benjamin. So there's only two full brothers there. He only has one full brother, both father and mother the same. So he loves Joseph. Joseph begins to have a dream, showing that God is going to elevate him. Brothers don't tend to like that a whole lot. You mean you're going to be my boss? I'm 10 years older than you and a little bit smarter, right? I mean, that's what every brother thinks. So, you know, he probably should have just told his dad in private, maybe not told his brothers that, but maybe his brothers need to hear it. So they begin to devise a plan. And one day some people are missing, so Joseph has to go and tell his brothers who are out working in the field. There are commentators that says Joseph probably didn't have the responsibility that his other brothers had as far as workload. Dad was keeping it light on him. So again, not something that your brothers are going to respect a whole lot. Hey boys, go out and work, you know, do this and do that. Joseph, you stay in here, you'll be all right. Stay in the air conditioning. Okay, Dad. So all of a sudden, he's got to go out and tell his brothers. He goes out and he tells the brothers, you know, what they need to know. And his brother says, let's kill him. Let's get rid of this pain in the neck. You know, Reuben is the oldest child. He said, no, guys, let's not do that. That's not good. He said, let's just throw him in this pit. Now, Reuben's thought was, as soon as the brothers calm down or as soon as they get by, I'm going to get him out of the pit and I'll get him back to Dad where he'll be safe. But Reuben goes off for a little while. Along come some Ishmaelites, a traveling band, and they pull Joseph out and they sell him for 20 shekels of silver. He winds up, he goes to Egypt, and the Ishmaelites sell him then to Potiphar, who's like he's like the head of the CIA for Pharaoh. So he's over, he's a protector. He's very high up, got a lot of responsibility. So he's in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar notices something about Joseph. Everything he does, God prospers. Now, if you are an employer, you want to hire a Joseph, and you want to give him lots of responsibilities because the Lord is with him. He has the Midas touch, is what we would say. Everything he touches turns to gold. So Potiphar says, buddy, this household is yours. Run it. Do whatever you want. You just take care of my business. I got business for the king to take care of. So he is such an honorable guy. He's doing that. And then all of a sudden, Potiphar's wife takes a liking to what she sees. And she looks at him and she says, boy, that is a nice looking young man. And her mind, and as I studied this, I found out that the Egyptian women were more aggressive in this way. Because this doesn't sound like it should be happening in this Old Testament, right? It just doesn't sound like women acted that way. Well, the Egyptian women acted that way. They were your women libbers in the Old Testament. Can we say that? So she laying hold of this young man, and she is blatant about it. Hey, buddy, come here. I'm going to show you a good time. And he says, I can't do that. Wow. Hey, a friend of mine told me, he said, if you're ever going to cheat with a married woman. I said, what? He said, yeah, they won't tell either. That's the wisdom of the world. What I'm saying is, this would have been Joseph's chance. He probably could have got away with it. I'm sure that's what the devil was telling him anyway. No one ever know. You see, that's what the devil does, right? Hey, you can do this, and no one ever know. This is going to be a free sin. You're going to enjoy this, and there's no cost and no consequence to it. Yeah, and then guess who's going to sell you out? The one who's telling you there's going to be no consequence to this. Satan loves to hook Christians and then paint you on the front page of the paper. Look at what this godly guy did. All the time telling you, nobody ever know. So he is a man just like any 17-year-old man. Hormones high. But he's different in one respect. He's a man of integrity. Amen. He said, I can't do that. He said, you understand, your husband has put me in charge of this home. He's entrusted me to work in this home, to take care of it, and I cannot do this. This would be a reproach to him. So the Bible says day after day, she was relentless. She kept after him, and he kept avoiding her. He kept going the opposite way. One day, Joseph goes in the home, and no one else is there. No other servants are around. It's Joseph and Potiphar's wife. And this time, she means business. She grabs hold of that young man. And to the point that she's not taking no for an answer. You're coming with me, big boy. And grabs hold of him. Joseph flees, leaving his clothes behind, his outer garment. She has to do something. Now all of a sudden, she's there with another man's garments. What's she do? Rape! This guy you brought into our house has tried to rape me. Potiphar comes home and takes vengeance as any man would do to protect his wife. But he could have had him killed. There's a couple of different thoughts that go through my mind. One is he didn't fully believe his wife. So you put him in prison. Or two was God said, don't you touch harm that boy. I don't know which one happened, but one way or the other, he goes to prison to live another day. It's not exactly the way that we see our life going, is it? You know, when you have a dream from God that he's getting ready to promote you, you don't think jail time. Oh boy, take me to the pit, Father. I need to learn. And yet, that's where he goes. But even the jailer noticed that the hand of God is on this young man. That the things that he's doing, even in jail, are beginning to prosper. So the jailer looks at him and puts him in charge of all the prisoners. The old saying comes to my mind, cream rises to the top. You remember shaking that milk? Maybe when you were a kid, I remember getting fresh milk, which I was allergic to, but we didn't know. We'd shake it and all that cream and make that butter. Oh my goodness. I fell in love with it when I was 8 years old and it has not changed. Cream comes to the top. And that's what was happening in Joseph's life. You see, when God lays his hand on you, doesn't matter what the devil wants to do with you. The hand of God is greater than any plot, plan, or thing that the devil wants to do. He protects you. He still goes to the pit, though. Still is there in prison. The jailer says, boy, you got something on you. He said, I think I'll put you in charge. And even the jail begins to operate better. One day, Pharaoh gets mad at his butler and his baker. His butler would be like the cupbearer. Remember we studied Nehemiah, the cupbearer to the king. That would be what another word for it would be butler. So he throws them in prison. They have a dream. Both of them, same night, have different dreams. And Joseph comes and they said, can you interpret this dream? And he says, I'm not necessarily an interpreter of dreams, but dreams belong to God. And so do I. So we will inquire of the Lord. So the butler gives it to him and he says, here's what happened to me. And Joseph said, well, I know what that means. He says, in 3 days, he said, you're going to be restored back to your rightful position. You know, everything's going to be erased in your life. You're going back to the palace, boy. And then the baker thinks, that's, woo-hoo-hoo, that was a good one, you know. Can I share my dream with you? He shares his dream, and Joseph looks at him. He says, well, yours is just a little different. He says, in 3 days, your head is going to be lifted off of your shoulders. So then he, instead of talking, I'm not going to waste my time with the baker. I need to talk to the butcher or the butler. And he says, when you get out of here, remember me. Remember me. Does he? No. It's amazing to me when we try to work in the avenues of the world. God doesn't need your help. God doesn't need the good old boy system that Tennessee and Kentucky know so well about. Slapping you on the back and saying, yeah, if I get this promotion, I'll bring you right along with me. Then they get the promotion and I don't remember that guy. God doesn't need anybody's help to promote you. Let's leave it to the Lord. But one day Pharaoh has a dream. And it's disturbing. He calls all the wise men in. He says, guys, you got to tell me what this means. And he has actually two dreams. And nobody can answer what these dreams mean. And he says, is there not someone in this place that can tell me what this dream means? And all of a sudden, the butler says, Oh my goodness. He said, yeah, there is. He's in prison. He said, when you got mad at me, remember Pharaoh, when you got mad at me, you threw me into prison. He said, I had a dream. And he says, he interpreted it. It was exactly the way it went. He said, also, the baker had a dream too. And he interpreted it. And again, it's exactly. He says, he's an Israelite. He serves a different God. And Pharaoh said, I don't care about that. Bring him up here. I got to know what this dream means. So they clean him up, because you can't go from prison to the palace the way you're dressed. Clean him up. Isn't that amazing? When God comes on you, there's some cleaning that needs to be done. Glory to God. It's not our job to clean you, but the Holy Ghost cleans you. So he's cleaned up and he comes before the... Golly, that's good. I don't know where that came from. Going into the palace, going before the king. Man, that's exactly what we do. We go before the King of Kings and God cleans us up to bring us into his presence. That's good stuff. Somebody, but write that down so I can put that... Next time I preach a sermon, I need to include. So he goes before and the king tells him, Pharaoh tells him the dream, a couple of dreams. And Joseph says, actually, the two dreams are actually one dream. And he says, here's what it means. He says, the Lord has shared with you the future of this nation. He says, we're going to have 7 really good, healthy years. But then after that, we're going to have 7 devastating years. And God has warned you so that you can take advantage of the 7 good years. And so the Pharaoh, being a pretty wise man, he says, we need to put someone wise over this situation. Joseph utters not a word. Scripture does not say, choose me, choose me, choose me. Like most Christians today. Choose me, I'm wise, choose me. You got to worry about people. It's always got their hand up. Let God do the promotion. Joseph stands there, type of Christ. Christ uttered not a word. Remember? So Joseph is standing there quietly. Pharaoh looks at him and says, you're the guy. If God gave you the interpretation of the dream, he can tell you how to get us out of this mess. Joseph basically winds up saving the entire known world at that time because the hand of God was upon him. Shows him at 17 what's going to happen, but he doesn't enter into the ministry of this service till he's 30. He is now 30 years old. He served a pretty good term of that in jail. Ministry's wonderful. If you are serious about your walk with God, the Lord will take you places that you don't expect to go to teach you things that you must learn. Right? Joseph puts a plan together and he says, we need to save 20% of everything that we grow and harvest for the next 7 years. And it said that the grain was as numerous as the sand on the seashore in those 7 years. And then the next 7 years, just like Joseph had told him, a famine happened and people were coming from far and wide. We need grain. We're starving to death. We need grain. Well, it happened in Canaan too, where Dad and the brothers lived. So Dad finally looks up and he tells his sons, he said, boys, we're starving to death. And I hear they've got grain in Egypt. Take some money and go and get some grain. In one day comes his 10 brothers and stands before Joseph. Joseph doesn't look like the good old Hebrew boy that he used to be. He looks very Egyptian. They do not recognize him, but they're standing in front of the guy that they wanted to kill. Now, this man has the power to retaliate. How many Christians would take advantage of that. Oh, you did me dirty. And I have remembered it. But he doesn't. Why? Because he's the type of Christ. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Forgiveness is an amazing thing. It's a supernatural thing that God enables us to do because of His grace. There are people in this body that have suffered all kinds of affliction by the hands of another person. And yet, they're sweet. They're kind. There's goodness and there's forgiveness in them. That's not normal. That's supernatural. Joseph could have got back at them, but he plays a few games with them and sends them on their way. And he says, you know, if you really have another brother at home, he said, you need to bring him. And they said, Dad's not going to let us bring him. He said, we've already lost one brother, Benjamin's brother, and he won't let us gamble on Benjamin's life. And he said, well, he said, if you want more grain, you're going to have to bring, I want to meet this Benjamin, whoever he is. I want to see if you're telling me the truth. When they get back on their donkeys and they head back to Canaan, they begin to examine their sacks. They've got all the grain that they came to purchase, and then they open their money bags and they find out that all their money is still there. What has happened? We've been set up. They're going to think we're thieves. No, it's the kindness of God. He is giving them far more than what they expect. You see, there's a verse that says, I will do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or even think. See, he was doing that in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. We serve a mighty God. If only we could believe for more and believe bigger things, our satchels would be full, bless God. So they head home, they tell their dad, you know, what's happened and stuff. And they said, you know, if we go back, we got to take Benjamin. He says, well, there's no way. But what happens? The famine goes on. It continues on. They get down to nothing again. Dad says, okay. One of the sons says, if Benjamin gets hurt, you can take my two sons. I mean, it's to the point of desperation. So they go back to the man in charge. And they said, we're out of grain again. We need to purchase more grain. And we are here to pay not only what you ask, but we want to pay for more. Somehow, some way, our money went back with us. And we don't understand it, but we're here to pay for last time's grain and this time. And so at one point, Joseph is so full of emotion, he has to leave the room for a minute. And the Bible says he wept. Overseeing his brothers, overseeing Benjamin, his true brother, he went to the back and he wept. And then he says, the Bible says he cleaned his face and he went out before them. And finally he tells them, guys, he's speaking through an interpreter this whole time. And finally he says, guys, you have not recognized me, but I've recognized you. And they're looking at him thinking, what is he talking about? See, I am your brother. I am the one you threw in the pit, the one you sold to the Ishmaelites. And he makes this remarkable statement. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. But I'm going to tell you, hang on to your dreams. Man may want to do evil to you, but God's got your back. He is protecting. There's some lessons, and I know I'm trying to go fast. Since Treva went so long, there's five things that I want for you to see. And number one is we need to receive God's promises with childlike faith. That's the way that Joseph did it. Matthew 18:3 said, unless you are converted and become as a little child, you'll by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. What does he mean? Guys, we need to be innocent. The world, listen to me, the world has turned cynical. They think evil of everything, even good things. And it's slipping into the church. There is such a level of distrust between the pew and the pulpit today. Now, we have done that to ourselves. But that doesn't mean you're right in holding that. Because past ministers have failed, we tend to want to mistrust every minister. That eventually hurts you. I that I ran the Senior Citizen Center. I have 22 years, and I actually quit a couple of times. It was always when someone I really loved died, and it just tore me up. And I think, I can't do this. I got to get a different job. But I went back after one time and had been gone about 18, 19 months. And the guy that they hired went to our church. Bless the Lord. And he stole from them. He embezzled quite a bit of money. And after I had come back, and now the money that he stole was the money that I raised. So when I first went to the senior citizens, they were broke. They didn't have anything to steal. But when I left, they had a little bit of an abundance, and he tried to get most of it. But after about 6 months, they were treating me like I was the one that embezzled the money. And finally, in a board meeting, I said, this has got to stop. I said, you guys are treating me like I'm the one that stole from you, and I'm the one that worked my butt off so you'd have something to steal. And immediately, two of the ladies on my board said, you're right, and we're sorry. I just tell you that story to tell you this. Don't let your past disappointments clouds your future and your walk with God. I am not saying that you'll never be disappointed by a man in the pulpit again. You will be. I promise you, you will be. You still have got to extend that grace out. You still have got to walk and see, you only get what you allow me to give you. I've said that wrong. I'm sorry. You only get what the Holy Ghost will bring through me that you will allow. See, in this church and in every church, there are some people that I'm nothing more than the preacher. And you'll get the preacher's part of this message. You'll receive of that abundance. To some of you, I'm more than preacher, I'm pastor. And you get more when I'm your pastor, because the pastor is a shepherd, so you get the covering anointing. You get a little bit more because why? You've trusted me in a little bit deeper a level. But to others of you, a few of you in here, I'm not preacher, I'm not pastor, I'm dad. I'm your spiritual father. And those people allow me to go deeper into their hearts. I can get in their business, in other words. The Holy Ghost gets to speak to you at a different level because you're more trusting. Let's not get cynical in the body of Christ. There needs to be a love and a trust and a respect. And you know what that means? It means you're going to get your heart hurt every once in a while. What do? You pick it up, you wipe it off, and you put it back out there again. Say, well, that's just stupid. To the carnal mind, probably, but it's the way of God. We've got to be childlike in the kingdom. It's hard to trust these days, isn't it? It really is. It's a difficult thing to say, I trust you, speak into my life. The blessing is there, if we'll do it. We need to serve God, be faithful and patient in the good times as well as the bad. In Hebrews 10:36, it says, you have need of patience, so after you've done the will of God, you may receive a promise. Those of you who are here Wednesday night, you're going to get a double portion of this. Most people in the body of Christ today say, don't ever pray for patience. If you pray for patience, you know what that means? You're going to get trials. How stupid have we become? How any minister could stand in the pulpit and tell people, don't pray for something that God wants you to have. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit, guys. Galatians 5:22, the third one, I believe, is patience. We're telling people, don't pray for that, don't pray for that. Oh my God, if you pray for that, you're... Ooh. In your patience possess ye your soul. Guys, you don't understand, but patience is extremely important in the body of Christ. You know why? Because God doesn't operate on our time schedule. You pray and you believe, and then what do? You wait! And sometimes it seems like we wait a lifetime. How many of you went before the throne and say, oh, yeah, God, woohoo, remember me? I've been asking for, yeah, like 7 years. And God says, you have need of patience. Keep believing. Keep trusting. And then the church is saying, no, you don't have need of patience. Do you know what patience? No, don't. Do. Trust God. He's the wise one. You have need of patience. That once you've done the will of God, now you wait. Let patience have her perfect work, so that you may be perfect, complete, entire. You think that's important? I think it's important to be complete. We got a lot of people, if we could just see spiritually, we got a lot of half people walking out here in the streets. We got a lot of partial souls walking in the kingdom of God. Why? Because half of them's missing. Their heart's missing. They're not complete. They're not whole. They're fractured. Is that God's will? No, that's not God's will. But somewhere along the line, someone says, don't pray for patience. When Joseph was in the pit and talking to the butler, he says, when you get back into the palace, remember me. 2 years later, 730 days, he waits. Never once does Scripture record that Joseph got up in a bad mood. Never once does it ever say Joseph threw his hands up in despair and said, where are you, God? Paul and Silas was in the pit for preaching the gospel. Had stripes upon their back. And at midnight, they lifted up their voice in song to the Lord. They didn't cry out in despair. They cried out in worship. And they saw a miracle of God. Why? Because patience had its perfect work. They lifted their eyes off of their situation and placed them back on the God who controls the situation. This is good stuff. Hallelujah. We need to stand in integrity in trials and temptation. What does that mean? It means you do the right thing all the time. Not just when people's eyes are upon you. Not when you're in the pulpit. Not when you're teaching Sunday school. Not when you're playing music or doing whatever in the house of God. It means on Monday when you're at the work and someone comes up to you and says, I heard something this weekend. Woo-hoo! Is it juicy? You say, I don't have time for gossip. It will destroy my anointing. I love you, but I'm not listening to that garbage. There'll be opportunities for you to take things that are not yours. No one's looking. And the devil says, you deserve it because you're underpaid. Don't listen to the voice of the enemy. be a man or a woman of integrity, that you walk uprightly, you do it right all the time, because you are the poster child for Jesus Christ. We walk in humility before God and man. James 4:10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. If you're prideful, you're going to have a few lessons coming. Because God can't use prideful people. Pride comes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. You mark my words. You walk in pride, you're going to have a hard life. Humility breaks our heart. When you truly see humility in a person's life, it does something to you. You know why? Because we've got enough of God in us that we appreciate humility. When God looks down and He sees the humble of heart, it gets His attention. In America, we are taught to assert ourselves. If you don't sound your horn, if you don't ring your bell, ain't nobody else going to ring it. You've got to assert yourself. No, you don't. God will promote you. Amen. He doesn't need your help. What is your job? Walk humbly before the Lord your God. What does that mean? I'm such a terrible person. That's not humility. Actually, humility in most of our minds might actually look a little bit like arrogance. Because the truth of the matter is when you're humble, you know who you are in Christ. I know I'm a son of God. But I prefer you over me. I prefer your well-being over my well-being. You see, if there's something that I can do to help promote you, even though it costs me, I'll do that. Because that's humility. Our society says, no, me first. Me first. Jesus says, no, you last. Others first. And then I'll take care of you. Let me tell you, He can take care of you better than you can take care of you. Be humble. Walk in humility. Humility will get the attention of God. I promise you. And the last thing is, try to see things from God's perspective. Joseph chose to forgive those who tried to hurt him. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. I think it's very difficult many times to see life from his position. But we need to. Can't see the forest for the trees, right? That's what the old saying says. Sometimes we get so close, all we see is the trees. But God sees the big picture. Can I trust Him? Lord, this can't be right, because everything's not right. The Lord says, trust me in it. Lord, this can't be the way of me getting to my ministry. I'm in jail. I haven't done anything wrong. I didn't touch that woman. Trust me, son. I'm going to get you to the palace through the back door. But you're going to get before Pharaoh. You're going to save the known world if you'll trust me. One of my favorite scriptures is, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. When Abraham went to that mountain, Mount Horeb, to offer Isaac, he only saw what was before him. He was living in obedience to the Lord. Lord, you've asked me to do a grievous thing. I don't understand it, but I'm doing it. You know, as a child of God, not every morning do you wake up with a hallelujah chorus going off in your mind, right? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Some days it's just to wake up and say, can I do something else? Nope, you really can't. Not when God's called you to do what you're doing. But when you see it from His perspective. Abraham had the knife in his hand. He had the wood piled up under the altar. Said, boy, lay down. Isaac, who's big enough to take him at this time. You know, he was an old man when he had him. Now Isaac's probably 17, 18 years old and Abraham's 118. I think he probably could have took him. He gets up on the altar and he lays down. Talk about trusting your father. Dad pulls the knife back. And then all of a sudden, there's a ram stuck in the bush. You see, from Abraham's position, he couldn't see that there was a ram there. But God, from looking down above, he sees a ram on the other side of the mountain. And God takes his big rod from up there and says, get over there on the other side. I need you in 45 seconds to be over there. God sees your problem. God sees your situation. Will you trust Him? Don't give up on your dream. You hear me? Say, but I'm 70 years old. That just means you're closer to it. Don't give up on your dream. I believe there are people in here that as little kids, God planted something in your heart. And you backed away from it because you said it's too late. The lady in McDonald's, she said, I've messed up too much. I know that God can't use me because of the life I've lived. Eugene and I both heard those words. And both of us thinking the same thing. I appreciate the testimony, but you are so dead wrong. When God starts disqualifying us because of our past, we're going to close the doors, guys, because every one of us has got a past that's not so pretty. Thank God for grace. He removes the past and He removes the shame. Thank you, Jesus. So that He can put His super on your natural and make all your dreams come true. There are some people in here that need to know the story of Joseph. You don't need to just know it here. You need to know it here. Maybe God is trying to breathe a little breath. Come alive, dream. Come alive. Spirit of God is speaking to you today. Come alive. Stand with me. So thankful to have you in church today. You have done a very wise thing. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together, and even more so in the last days. You had lots of options today. You could have stayed home. You could have beat the Baptist to the restaurant. But you can't do that coming to Hope, Bridge of Hope. You chose to go to church. You chose to open up your heart and allow the Spirit of God to move one more time. This is not a little thing. This is a big thing. Without faith, it's impossible to believe, to please God. Because you got to come to Him knowing who He really is. I didn't feel very well today, preacher. I don't care. You came to church. God bless you. But if we're going to come to church, let's get everything we can get. Don't close your heart off to the Spirit of God. My heart is just doing this. You know what insanity is? You guys know this. It's doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different result. That's insane. Maybe you need to do something different. Can I suggest one? Walk humbly with your God. Humble yourself before the Almighty God. Say, what's that look like? It looks like something like this. God, I thought I had my act together. I thought I knew what I was doing. But boy, did I make a big mess of my life. I realize the answer is not in me. It's in you. I'm asking you, Lord, to restore the dreams of my past. Don't hold my past against me. Forgive me. Let me go on to see the fulfillment of your hand on my life. Do something mighty with this clay. That's humility. God wants to use you. Father, I come before you and I pray the Spirit of God right now takes the message, the Spirit that is in here and births something new. I pray, Lord, that eyes have been opened and hearts have been enlightened and dreams have been refreshed. Let people know that their best days are not behind them, that their best day is today because they're hearing the vision of God for their life. Spirit of God, take this and birth it in each and every person here. I thank you for these young people over here. Father, they've not messed up their lives like some of us have. Keep them, protect them, keep them whole and wholesome. But let them walk in true humility. Let them know that you have a very specific plan for their life. Father, there's others that are getting a little cynical. They're having a difficult time trusting. And unfortunately, Lord, when man fails us, and then we pray to you as our Father, we can get a little cynical and think maybe God will fail us. But we know the Scripture is true, that you never fail. You're a God that does not change. You're a God that does not give up. Psalms 139 says that you are before me and you're behind me. You have hemmed me in that you can touch me today. I'm asking you, Jesus, to touch these people today. Rekindle the flame that's in their heart as they trust in you. Father, if there's someone here that does not know you as their Savior, I pray a prayer of repentance for them. Let them follow me as I pray. Father, forgive me for trying to live my own life. I ask you to be Lord of my life. Come in and save me. I ask you, Lord, to forgive all my past failures and mistakes. I want a second chance. Help me, Jesus. Be Lord and Savior. I invite you in Jesus' name. Amen.